Welcome to the Fit 40 podcast, where we take all the confusing, conflicting fitness and nutrition information and break it down so that you can live your healthiest, strongest, most energized life. I'm your host, Brian Fitzsimmons. Let's get it started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back for another awesome episode. I got another great guest for you guys. We have Chris Little in the house. He is a trainer and online coach out of Edmonton, brought another Canadian in. He is the host of the Chasing Common Ground podcast, but that's not all he does. He wears a ton of hats. He does videography, podcast editing, and happens to be a white belt two-stripe in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So the guy's kind of a badass. So Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Brian. I've been looking forward to this one for a few weeks now, and I did a deep dive on some of your past episodes. What I would have to say is that if people haven't taken the opportunity, definitely go to like Apple Podcasts, leave 5-star, leave a review, go to Spotify, drop the 5 stars. I checked Chartable, and this podcast has been ranking in both the United States and Canada. And when you leave a review like that, that's what helps with the ranking. So if you want to support this show, definitely like take a moment to do that. It might seem like a small little thing that you could do, but it makes such a big impact in helping this show reach more people. But yeah, I won't talk too much.
Hey, I'll get you your money after the show. Thanks, man. but that honestly means a lot, considering I have no idea about that stuff. Like, and this is coming from the guy who like is behind the scenes on a lot of podcasts. So, I mean, that means a lot. Thank you. And thank you to everybody listening. You guys are making this happen. But yeah, so that being said, let's dive into the fun stuff. So being that you are a fellow trainer, I know you still have a handful of people in person, right?
Yep. Sure do.
Awesome. Because like I tell everybody on here, I really, really do like, I have a strong preference for guys and girls that work in person, because there's just certain things that you pick up working with people face to face that you don't really get online. So that being said, I can't wait to pick your brain on certain things. And before we get into all that, I'd like to know, like, what got you into fitness? Because everybody kind of has a different origin story and they're always interesting. So what's yours?
So I'm going to preface this, like when people know that I'm going to be on a podcast, they almost anticipate that my origin story is going to take 30 minutes. And so they just brush right by. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you the concise, more direct version. So essentially, way back, I had an awesome relationship, super supportive girlfriend. And one day she decided that she was going to come by and she was going to be like, you know, I like life solo more than I like it with you. And I took that personally. And with that, I doubled down on what my own purpose was. Like, what am I doing here? What do I want to accomplish in life? I started to get very introspective. Started off, I dabbled in some spin classes, which inspired me to want to be an instructor. I instructed for a year. Worked for a magazine called Yegg Fitness that has since been rebranded to Yegg Thrive. And I was an account manager for them, basically selling ads for that while doing some of these certifications for training. Eventually worked for a gym. I actually had to earn the position through a paid internship, which was a great experience because it connected me with a lot of smart people. After having earned that job 8 months in, they shut down, went online, kind of left me high and dry in a matter of directness. And then I became self-employed as a trainer. I moved to a different gym 4 months into that journey. The first gym I was at was great, super supportive. Second gym I was at was actually the same gym that Andrew Coates contracts out of. So Evolve Strength South. And a lot of people might recognize the Evolve brand because we have that big Evolve basically fitness and business conference that comes up. I believe it's September 13th and 14th or something like that, which I highly recommend going to.
I am hoping to make it out for that. That seems like it's going to be a crazy lineup.
It's well worth it. And then to cap off this origin story of mine, during the pandemic, I did a couple contracts with Lululemon. I worked for their GEC, which is essentially their customer service. I did a contract for their Lululemon mirror, which kind of phased out, kind of turned into Lululemon Studio. And I don't know the exact conclusion of that, but essentially I did a little short stint with them. Been working with Alex McBrarity of A-Team Fitness since about, I think, January 2021. Started off programming for people behind the scenes, and also just helping with some of the marketing. And then I directly coach some of the people in our community one-on-one and continue to help with like marketing and business development with him. I started working with Beverly Simpson, aka B Simpson Fitness, in I believe it was April 2022. So essentially, while I was taking care of my in-person people and my online people, I transitioned from the Lululemon Mirror position into working with Beverly, and kind of started off behind the scenes with like podcast production, media creation, have kind of transitioned to additionally support some of her people with some of the back end, like setting up programs and stuff for online coaches, setting up marketing, helping with content creation, helping with just the soft skills of coaching. And when I made this jump, basically I shifted from being fully employed in a salary job in a warehouse to being kind of self-employed, kind of employed. I just basically kind of took a leap earlier than most people would be willing to into the fitness industry, where I was like, I put in my resignation. I thought a box gym was going to hire me. They didn't. I had to come up with a backup plan. This was back in 2018. And I basically found as much work as I could, which meant I spent a year working as a bar at a Porter. I started working for what was then one of my neighbors. She does social media contracting. So that's where I do some of my videography, editing, content writing, caption writing, consulting. I also do some of that directly. I've done some editing for probably 10 different fitness brands. I've consulted to start up probably 8 to 10 different podcasts. And I just do one-off calls for people trying to help them set up their email list, or just set them on the right direction. But yeah, so now I essentially have 4 different things that I do. And I balance that with jiu-jitsu. Started nice. Jiu-jitsu in September 2022, I think. And just grinding away, gaining the wisdom benefits, getting some battle scars here and there. Community is awesome. It's a good fitness modality for the way that my brain works, because it both shuts it off and gives me something to work towards. And that is about as short as I can make my origin story. I did my best.
Hey, you did pretty good. Not quite 30 seconds, but definitely not 30 minutes. So we nailed it. And I got to say, based on everything that you do, your accountant must love you.
Oh, well, I mean, I dabbled in an accounting course remotely during my kind of like self-discovery phase. And so I do a lot of my own stuff. Not saying I should, but it's just, I guess I just choose violence when it comes to making your life difficult. So
yeah, like one more thing.
I probably should have an accountant, but I don't yet.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're taking care of it, at least it's not their headache of 4 different hats to worry about.
Exactly.
So let's bring it over to fitness. Now, me and Chris met at RCS, the Real Coaches Summit, with Aram Gregorian. Great dude. And we learned a ton. And I know that like there were a lot of things going on there that we as coaches know work really, really well, but we also know what doesn't work really well. To kick it off, what are some things that you started your personal training career like thinking, and then it just sounds great on paper, but it doesn't really translate to when actually working with somebody?
Mm-hmm. It's cool because it's like the best way that I reflect on this is I'll look back on my Instagram. Like a while ago, I kind of like wiped my Instagram clean and kind of started fresh with new content. But if I was to look into the archives of old stories and stuff, the amount of times I did lateral band walks, and I just don't do them now. And the amount of times where it was like, I had made it as like, you do this or it's not a proper session, where I would have everybody had to foam roll and everybody had to do cat cow and everybody had to do 90-90 and everybody had to do this. And when I made the shift to kind of like take into account what that person actually needed or what was like the low hanging fruit for improving their quality of life, then I started to get a lot better at just kind of catering to the individual in front of me, which I think we can both agree that's where the benefit comes from, having that experience with 101. the other thing, one of the first things I did when I stepped into self-employment, because like when I contracted or worked for another gym, they would sell in packages. So there's a lot more rigidity. And this is, there's no one way to do things. So people can sell their in-person training in packages, and that can be a great experience. But for me, as I wanted to market myself, I sold it one session at a time. And so it was up to me to earn their reoccurring business. And we would kind of set this expectation of how many times I could expect to work with them, just for scheduling purposes and stuff. But like, if they were having a bad time with me, they could walk away at any moment. And with that said, I've had some clients that have worked with me since like October 2018. I've had a lot of clients online that worked with me since 2020. So like, it works, but it takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of like emotional intelligence to be able to kind of like handle the ebbs and flows, and to give grace to people like when it's just like they don't mean to mess something up, or they don't mean to change their schedule. But I am kind of grassroots in that way. It's not something that I would say everybody has to do it that way, because you kind of have to have a certain personality to withstand that amount of like just emotion that it takes to kind of be like, okay, everybody could leave today. What are we going to do? But it's certainly helped my career. And now I'm in roles where like my patience is like my biggest asset. That's my job security, because people know that they can count on me, that I have quite a bit of resilience, and that I'm going to get it. Like if something's happened, something's going down, I'm going to get it. So to answer your question, lateral band walks, that's the one right there.
Yeah. No, I mean, when it comes to the stuff too, I look back and it's like, yeah, you kind of steal somebody's recipe and you're just like, well, if they do this, this should work. And then you're like, yeah, this is kind of dumb. Let's just scrap this. But that one gem, that one, that's the one I want. So,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, with those lateral bands, especially, it was kind of like pulling a binky away. It's like, I know you love it, but we got to learn to like twist your knees out without you needing a band to do that.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. Now, when it comes to the whole fitness side of things, I know you said that you work out of Evolve 2, correct? With Andrew? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, great dude, Andrew Coates. Go check out his stuff after you're done with us. But, like when you guys share a space, do you guys ever like kind of watch each other? I know what that's one of the things that I kind of miss being in person, like looking at other people giving cues or doing certain things. And you're like, that's a great idea. Like, have you ever like caught yourself looking at each other over like, oh, I'm going to steal that?
So this is multifaceted. So I'm going to tell you first my experience when I first started working at Evolve. Mm-hmm. So obviously I was a little bit nervous. I'm like, there's a lot of like really established trainers here. And like Andrew paid attention to how I worked with my clients. And the thing that stood out to him, and he actually offered me this feedback immediately, was that I was someone who was paying attention. Like it showed that I cared about my clients. I wasn't sitting on a box playing on my phone.
Oh, that is the biggest pet peeve. Freaking hate when people do that.
And I mean, to put our mind at ease, everybody that I know who's ever sat on a box playing on their phone is no longer in the industry. So it just, it works itself out.
That's true.
But this was just something that kind of stuck with me. But it's just, I wanted to be in the industry so badly. Like I put so much on the line to work with people, like financially. It's not like it was basically I had to succeed, because if I didn't, I would have to go back to where I came from. And I didn't want to do that. So that's something that he's observed in me. And then from my point of view, if I'm watching his sessions, the cool opportunity that I have is when he's talking about how he works with his clients, like on podcasts or in his media, he is being 100% literal. Like he will tell you that you can create your content by writing down things that the clients say. And so he is paying attention to them. And then either on his tablet, he'll write a note, or maybe he'll pull out like a notepad or something. Generally, like he'll put it on his tablet, but he's very engaged with his clients. He actually shares some of the things that he's learning or some of the things he's writing about with his clients. He has a very strong connection with them. So it's completely transparent. Everything that he says he is. And so it's just, for me, it's nice because I go way back with Andrew. Like, he actually gave me kind of a side hustle opportunity back in the day before I kind of got into training. So he's known me my entire time in the fitness industry. I've listened to his podcast since day one. So I can totally vouch for he is everything that he says he is. And he's put in a lot of effort that people might not give him credit for. They might be like, oh man, you're just well known because your Instagram following. But no, he put in reps that people wouldn't know about before Instagram was what it is. And he was grinding away, reading books at high volumes before he was even writing. That's how he got into writing, because of the volume of material that he can get through. So that is kind of like my observational impact that I can provide on the show. Yeah. I can say, hey man, he's everything he says he is, which is great to be able to say, because it's nice to pump your tires, friend, or pump your friend's tires behind the scenes when they're not watching.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's got to be super duper valuable. I mean, I know, like, from learning from the guys and girls that I learned from, it's like same deal. You just like, you kind of pick up some of their greatness and some of their awesome qualities. And that's why I think anybody listening right now, like, one of the best things you could do is go to a gym where there's like a lot of high quality trainers, like all working together and feeding off each other, because it's an incredible environment when you find the right gym.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if somebody's listening and they're like, damn, I kind of want to like put myself in that type of environment, like what are some things like at Evolve that stand out to you that maybe other gyms don't quite have down, that you would say this is what would separate that gym from others?
So when you are in a facility that allows you as much autonomy as possible, that's going to be in your best interest. But also you have to think about, like, who does this facility attract? Like, does it attract a whole bunch of people that are looking to push the envelope, or does it attract people that kind of like feel like they're owed something? Because you'll kind of see two different personas, and I'm not relating this to one facility, but it's more of a generalization. You'll see one persona where it's like they're in that beginner's mindset. There's always something more to learn. There's something more to learn from people who are new to the industry. There's something more to learn from people who have been in the industry for two decades. They're always going to invest in some form of continuing education, but it's not limited to just like the biomechanics side of things. It's also going to be in the realm of like, let's work on our speaking skills, or let's work on our accounting skills. Because if we're better at accounting, we're better at managing the revenue that is required for our business. And then like there is a side of the spectrum where people kind of go into the industry and you'll notice that they habitually show up like 5 minutes late for their client, or they'll be the one counseling on the client, or they'll be like almost dogmatic in the way that they are setting up their like training. It's like, what do you mean you don't want to do the rower? Like, they have no flexibility, where it's like, well, you have to do a barbell deadlift. Like, there's absolutely no other way that you could gain that strength other than with a barbell deadlift. So it's kind of like, you want to find the balance of people that are going to, their presence is going to help you elevate yourself. Because if you find yourself surrounded by people who have like this, just one path, this one way to do it, and it's like, if they are held back, it's somebody else's fault. Or if like they don't have as much of a following, or they're not getting recognized for things, well, the world is out to get them. And like, they're not solution makers. Like, you have to have at least like three people who are pushing the envelope. They have an abundance mindset. They're looking for opportunities to support people genuinely, which can sometimes be misconstrued in our industry, where it's like, you help people and they're like, why are they helping me? I'm going to block this person.
Yeah.
I've had that happen. So when you kind of look for who is in the facility, like, to be transparent, I came from a facility that was a very similar model to Evolve. And I came to Evolve because of like three specific trainers, because they were bettering themselves in their life and in their career. They were looking for opportunities to get better. They were putting out, basically leaving a trail for how they progressed, whether it was through their media, whether it was through their writing. And so like, the evidence was on the wall that if I surround myself with like a couple of people, that I would inherently progress no matter like whether I knew what I was doing or not. It's just kind of like their energy. If I was around it for enough volume of time, I would inevitably get better. So when you're thinking about the facility, you're going to want it to be something where it's like you're paying like a capped rent, or maybe if you're not as busy, you're paying like a set per session rate. And then that gives you the ability, if you want to price yourself at a certain level, you price yourself at a certain level. If you want to market yourself a certain way, you market yourself a certain way. All of that said, I don't think these facilities owe people marketing. Like if they're going to market for you, they're going to probably need, for it to be viable, they're going to need to take a cut from that. So if you are into being able to develop your business, then you'd look for something that has like a very standardized what you can expect rental rate per month, and then it's on you to get your insurance and to ensure that your certifications are up to date so you can legally operate there. And it's on you to market yourself.
And I think from the trainer's perspective, it's like there's so many moving parts and all that, and it's definitely like a big to do in the beginning. Now, when it comes to like, say, the client like walking in, what are some things that like stood out to you when it came to like, when you talk about that type of personal trainer that's like always bettering themselves, like what were some things you noticed as a trainer that you think like if a client were to walk into the gym, you'd be like, I should look for that?
So just with regards to client coming into the gym, surveying the gym and trying to pick out which trainer they like, I would say look for the trainer who's most engaged with their client and look for the facial expression that the client has. Like if the client is just genuinely having fun, that makes a huge difference. I recently surveyed a majority of my clients, and so they were giving me feedback of what their experience was with me. And the words that came up the most often was that I'm funny. And like for better or worse, that probably ties with my retention. And it probably also ties with the amount of just like inquiries about training that I get through social media, through email. Some people will find my website, and just because I kind of have a reputation for being easygoing and approachable and having a sense of humor, not making it such a kind of like going to jail to do your punishment, like you're actually coming for a good experience. So as a client, I'd go into the gym, hang out on the turf, look around, see which clients are having fun, and see which trainers are like asking them how their day was. Like you should be having touch points at the start. Like, how are you doing today? On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel? And then at the end, just providing some closure, not just being, okay, I got to get to the next person, bye. Like actually being like, so how are you feeling after that session? Or what do you got going on the weekend? I'd love to hear about it. Or just like having something where they feel a sense of closure, where they feel like that they are important, because they are. I mean, when we have one-on-one clients, like they are like the foundation of our business. One one-on-one client could potentially provide enough referrals that you could have your own facility. And I've seen lots of people have this happen, where they were able to move to that next step in their own career because they treated one client really, really well. I've had one client pay my entire mortgage during like the earlier stages of the pandemic because I created an experience that was valuable enough for her that she trained with me at such a high volume that she became like my most important person during that phase. And I'll be clear, one of my mindsets is every single client that I work with, even if they come in for one session a year, I want to treat them like they're the most important person. Because for that period of time and for any question that they might ask me outside of that training session, they really are. Because they knew that I could help them. And so I have to prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that a lot of people do, unfortunately, get a bad taste in their mouth when it comes to trainers, because they tell the front desk, hey, I want to take this next level, or I do want to take you up on the free assessment. And they're like, all right, we'll hook you up. And then they give you to the new guy that's like been there for like a week that might not even be a trainer in a month. But when you get the people that have those intangibles, like that you spoke about, that actually give a shit about you, that actually like make it fun, even if they're super duper new and they're very green to this, then they're probably going to be the one of those people that learns to the point where they're going to grow with you and provide you such a good experience regardless, that they're worth sticking with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's those intangible people skills that like we take for granted. Cause I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, like one client would pay the mortgage, but at the same time, it's like a lot of people do get caught up in the clients or dollars. And when you go the other way and say, I genuinely give a shit about every one of my people, that's where the real difference is made.
Absolutely. Like there's definitely been times where it's like, I was very client focused, and in order to prioritize my client first, there was a lot of sacrifices I had to make in my personal life. There was like things that I couldn't be part of because I just simply couldn't afford it, because I wanted to make sure that my client knew that I was willing to do whatever it took to take really good care of them. And it's tough. It takes a lot of resilience, and it certainly is packed with emotion, lots of ups and downs, lots of moments of doubt, lots of insecurity. But for me, it's provided a pretty cool career for me. So I guess with that said, if somebody's like thinking about being in the industry, you kind of got to be prepared to have some grit and be able to bounce back, be very resilient, and be willing to put in the work, not only like on the weekdays, but also on weekends. There's so many people that I talk to that are looking to get into the fitness industry, where like they're like, oh yeah, I'll get to this later. I'm going to take 3 days off. I'm like, what are you? You have no clients and you're taking 3 days off. But I digress. It's just, you really have to have a go-getter attitude to hit your stride in this space. And especially when it's such a personalized, people-oriented business, you can't be like, oh yeah, you want help with your fitness? Well, you can reach me between 4 and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. That's not going to work.
I loved when I had a Ram on and he's like, you know, nothing really pisses me off more than these coaches that are impossible to get a hold of. It's like, that's the whole job, is literally just being there for people. Yeah. Now, I know that you do online coaching as well. Like when it comes to the online coaching, I guess what's your like big thing that you think is like the most integral part to giving that personalized service that is, I won't say easier, but it kind of is in person to build the connection and personalization. Like, what do you think online makes the biggest difference with that? If somebody's listening and they're like, this sounds awesome, but I don't have access to these guys.
The onboarding process. If you can fine tune your onboarding process and just make it like super, super awesome for people, that sets the tone. It sets the expectation. It allows them to get clear. Like half the time, if somebody has like a 50% onboard process, like they might set their client up with an app, but their client doesn't necessarily know how to use that app. Like imagine working with somebody where you're going to keep them on track with their nutrition, or you're going to keep them on track with their workouts, and they don't even know how to track things because you didn't explain them, because you send them a form or you got their info and you got their measurements, and it's like, okay, I'll check them with you next week. Like if you set aside like 45 minutes or half an hour, whatever you got to do, or if you like something that I think is an underrated thing to implement in your business, is to not only give them a live onboard call, like depending on what kind of like scale of business you are, how many people you're working with, but if you can give them a live onboard call and then also record that onboard call for them, send it to them so that they can review, and in addition have like a highly produced onboard call with screen share, with everything that they could possibly need, that you can send them separately, so that if their live onboard call didn't hit all the marks, if you missed something, if you overlooked something, they have an abundance of resources. If you set the tone at the start, that'll help with your retention, that'll help with like client experience. Like if they just have just this incredible experience from the very first day, they're going to be so much more accommodating with anything after that. Like if it was like it took you like an hour to get back to them, they're like, oh, well, that's fine. I know how to navigate the app. I can kind of answer my own question. The other thing is just like really setting the expectations, being like, hey, like you can reach out to me anytime. And a lot of people do. And maybe you don't want to reach out to me anytime. Maybe you want to reach out to me on a particular date, and that works too. And describing the type of questions that they could ask. Like some of my people, they're like, hey, I'm falling short on my protein goal. Like, what could I do? And so I will develop like a sheet of just potential breakfast meals that they could have. Now, these aren't meal plans. They're just suggestions, just inspirations. Because sometimes people just, they need to hear it. They need to know that they can mix the protein into their oatmeal. Or they need to know that it's okay to have 4 eggs. They don't have to just take one. And eggs are probably one of the best sources of protein.
Yeah, and I think another thing too, a lot of people need to hear is that certain things are okay, because there's so many bullshit diet rules out there right now that are out there for zero reason. Like some doctor latched on to some hypothesis that never was proven in human trials or whatever. And we have all these floating things that are like, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. I should be doing this. Like, what are some of the things that you tell your clients to like help them kind of get out of that, like, I guess you could call it diet culture mindset, where it's like certain things that you guys work on or that you say that really hits home for them?
So I like to kind of give them a little bit of control of the conversation. So let's say they were like, I want to find a way to like burn more calories, or I don't know what I can eat in this last part of the day because like I'm at my calories and I don't want to like go over. So I'll just be like, what's leading you to ask this question? And it might be like, well, for the burn more calories, I'm making progress, but I don't want to fall off track. And for the whole, like, they're at 2 p.m. and they've met their calories and they're concerned about what they can do with the rest of the day because they're hungry. Once I kind of get their feedback that they're like, I don't want to fall off track, or I don't want to be back to where I was, I kind of outline that it's like the things that matter most is our lifestyle, like our identity that we're creating for ourselves. Like, we are a person that is actively choosing to be active every day. We are a person that knows the benefits of a high protein diet. We're a person who knows that having vegetables as a carb, quote unquote, like people think of so many things as bad or good because of the blanket statements that outline mm-hmm. them. But kind of setting the tone for them to help them understand that like some of these numbers aren't finite. Like if somebody is trying to hit specific macronutrient targets, like we haven't like scanned their body to deduce that that is just the end all be all number. And if they went over by 500, they're going to explode and absolutely fail. Like adding in the nuance, just being like, hey, well, I mean, you can absolutely have another normal meal, but with your meal, you're going to take what you've learned over the past 3 months. And we're going to look at making protein a big part of that meal. But in addition to protein, let's look at some healthy sources of fiber and get those from Whole Foods. And in this way, you're actually not going to be over in calories by that much. And you're going to feel more energy. You're going to feel more satiated. And you'll probably sleep pretty good. And then within the realm of like, let's say they're looking for ways to burn more calories. Well, it's like that may not be the most sustainable approach. So it's like people who lead a healthy lifestyle have a tendency to be more active. So we could ask, well, how many steps have you gotten today? Do you think there's a chance you could do a evening walk? Just have fun. Take your dog on a walk. And then adding in some layers to it, just adding in some education. A lot of people don't realize that something that they could do that fits within their timeline is put on a backpack, put on a weighted vest. And like scientifically, that is going to draw more energy during that same period of time, during that same activity. But they don't have to feel like they're punishing themselves. It doesn't become this toxic behavior. And just really layering in that all of these things, like, it's actually in their best interests to make it part of the things in their life that they enjoy. So if they're walking more, I like to encourage people to plan walks with friends or take the dog on an extra walk. Dogs love walks.
They'll never say no.
I like to encourage. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the beauty. Like if somebody so much as gets a dog, is probably just as beneficial as getting a trainer, because a dog is always going to hold you accountable, and they're going to get super excited when you hold yourself accountable.
Because so, if anybody listening right now wants to take advantage of this, just remember: adopt, don't shop, and get that dog and get those steps in.
Absolutely,
that's like one of my big things. I'm like, just there's so many dogs that need a home. Adopt them. Like, there's so many rescues ready.
I exclusively follow so many of like the dog rescue pages, and like my long-term plan is like right now I live in a one-bedroom condo. It doesn't afford the space a dog deserves. And it's got a lot of cords. I don't want the dog accidentally nibbling on those and taking it on the dog. So as soon as I get a home where it's like I can have like a separate office where I'm not like above neighbors where the dog tippy tappies is obnoxious for them, then my first order of business will be like, I'll like close on the house or start renting the new house or whatever it is that I do, and then I'll go get a dog, and then the dog will be a big part of life. But I just want to make sure that like I'm setting up the environment for the dog, because like dogs bring so much to a person's life, and they have a shorter life than what I wish that they did. So I want to make sure that their entire experience with me is like the experience that like Lululemon strives to provide for somebody. Like, they're going to get like surprise and delight. They're going to get like a, hey, how you doing? When like I come home, they're going to be called a good dog day in, day out. I'm going to be patient with them as they're kind of young and learning dog things. And if they poop on something they're not supposed to, I'll just pick it up and be like, oh, it happens. It happens sometimes. But it's just like kind of like setting up your goals. And I know that was a long ramble, but setting up your goals so that they make sense, so that they're sustainable, and so that you don't like sabotage yourself on purpose, I think is a good
thing. Well, I'm glad you went down that like process, because I think a lot of people, like when it comes to fitness and nutrition especially, they kind of just jump in. They're like, I'm going to diet or I'm going to exercise. And it's like, cool, how? And there's never that like planning phase. It's like, I'm just going to do it. And then when they inevitably fall off, they're like, well, I didn't really have much of a structure anyway, so it's not pretty easy to fall off. No biggie.
Absolutely.
It plays full circle. But the other thing too, I know when we were touching on macros, the fact that like we just can't get an exact number no matter how hard we try. We're just doing best guesses. I don't know about Canada, but like down in the US, like the food labels, I believe, are off by 5 to 10% on average, and you just have no way of knowing.
Yeah, like you're absolutely right, because it's just like people will get in their head that it's like this like really tight mathematical equation. If they get it down to like the decimal point, that's going to ensure success. But like there are so many things that can throw a curveball at you that if we kind of create lifestyles for people where it's like, okay, well, I mean, every Sunday I go on a walk because that's who I do.
Yeah,
that's what I do. Like, for example, like when I get to the weekend, one of my top priorities is to go for a walk with my parents. That ensures that I get at least one really quality walk. When I have a long day of Zoom calls, like right now I'm standing on like a walking pad. So when I know that I'm just going to be at the computer for a long period of the day, I'll walk for like 2 to 3 of those calls to get in those steps, because I'm a guy who walks. And in order to make that true, you have to set up your environment to make it so. And that's in addition to strength training. Like there's so much, the things that stood out with the Real Coaches Summit for me was there's some really good presentations on conditioning and the value of conditioning, and like specifically like beyond walking, actually like keeping running in your lifestyle or finding some alternative that works for that person's body. If there's any physical limitations, like a rowing machine or like a ski erg, I have an echo bike in the corner of my living room, because it's like, I realized that to be the person who I say that I am, I kind of have to put some things in place in my environment. So I have like three gym memberships. I got dumbbells that adjust up to 50 pounds just to get some kind of a pump in my house. I can do the echo bike. I can all kinds of things. I got cables hanging off my bedroom door. I got a pull-up bar by my like laundry machine and drying machine. Like, I had to set up that environment. I encourage my clients to do the same, to make this like a lifelong thing. But everybody's different. So everybody's sustainability is going to appear different. But nobody is like immune to falling off track. So the better our environment is set up and the better our social supports are set up, like who you surround yourself with makes a big difference, as we alluded to back in the career portion. But all those things really
and I know another thing too that you mentioned like way in the beginning of the podcast that I think a lot of people do need to embrace a little bit more is like embracing that beginner mindset. Because I know like with your whole journey with like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I'm sure that's been like a full dose of like, hey, you don't know shit, but you're about to learn a thing or two.
Yep. Like to add some context to that, I feel like I was like primed for that. Because a lot of situations that I find myself in life, like the only thing that I can attribute to my success in life is because I can collect failures as lessons. Whereas a lot of people get one failure and then they feel sorry for themselves and they're not willing to get back up. There is actually a handful of places that I wasn't the right fit for when I was starting to be a trainer. Like, I didn't get hired at the first place I applied for. I didn't get hired at like the 10th place I applied for. With my personal life, there's been lots of times when I just haven't been the right person for somebody. And despite that, life goes on. Like, we still got to keep this show rolling. And so when I went into jiu-jitsu, I was like, man, I was born for this. You want to knock me out? Knock me out. You want to show me that I don't know what I'm doing? Show me. But you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep coming back. The second class I went to, I signed up for the yearly membership and I didn't sweat at all. I was like, I sweat literally. But in that process of like giving them my credit card and like committing to something that I couldn't back out of for the next 12 months, I was like, yeah, I'm that guy. I'm going to keep coming back. People can tell me that I suck at this. I can get absolutely annihilated class after class. I can have injuries, I can look bad, I can fail, but I'm not going to quit because that's who I am. And so if people embrace that, they'll have an easier time with not only things like jiu-jitsu, but just life in general. They'll be more successful.
And I think too, like how we touched on the beginning of the client journey as well, like when somebody signs on with a trainer or what, or an online coach, one of the things that a lot of people kind of do expect is like that Amazon Prime type of deal where it's like, I get everything I expect day one, exactly how I want it. And it's like, you got to be ready to take some messy action in the beginning. Like when you were getting started with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, for example, like did it all go exactly how you had in your head day one?
The funny thing is, it's just like, I was tuned in enough to know that like, I don't learn things right away. Like I feel I'm a slow learner, but then I progress very quickly once I'm in that environment. I mean, situational specific, because obviously I'm not, if I was progressing very quickly within it, specifically jiu-jitsu, I'd probably be a little bit further along in the belt system. But regardless, like I can layer on new skills. So I'll kind of like paint a picture of what the first class was like. I got there, I was wearing like some sweatpants or whatever, t-shirt. I didn't know what I was supposed to wear. Walking in there with my socks on, like, you can't wear socks on the mat. Ooh. And it's like, did you bring your like sandals? Because you need sandals to walk around on the floor. Because if your feet have been walking around on the floor barefoot, you're going to need to switch to sandals. Like, you can't bring that dirt onto the mat. And so it was just like all these different like things that I had to adapt to. And it's like they got a secret handshake and they got like certain words, like os, that they use to kind of like show respect, show camaraderie, just as like a thank you. There was all these things I had to get used to. And then we're on the mats and it's like the guy's like, okay, I'm going to do a takedown. Okay. And then boom, I'm on my ass. I'm like, oh, that's a takedown. Like, okay, we're going to put some pressure on you. And it's like, I'm going to die. Like, I'm scared for my life. I'm like, why did I take myself to this? Like, why am I here? And then like the second day I went and did jiu-jitsu, like the dude was barely even touching me and I was panicking so much. Like, he finally like put me on the ground and got me pinned so I couldn't move. But I'm like scrambling with all the energy that I can to move because I'm like, I don't know. I just got to get out of here. I don't know what to do. But I'm not like thinking logically or like with physics or angles or anything. And so I just tapped because I was so tired that I thought I was going to die. And then he just kind of like looked at me and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. And like when you're rolling, you tap and you restart. Well, I tapped and I was like, I'm going to sit on the bench now. I'm scared. Like I didn't admit I was scared, but I was like, I might have a heart attack. And it was just, so I knew that I was going to be in for a humbling experience. I even have like a screenshot that I sent to the professor. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm probably going to be really bad at this, but I'm excited to get started. And so I just knew that, like, you got to take your lumps. It's not going to be straightforward. You're not going to just, like, get rewarded right away. Like, to kind of, like, take it from somebody else's point of view. Jiu-jitsu is one of those modalities that is notorious for people coming for their first free trial class and then never come back again. Or it's like they don't get their blue belt within a year and they never come back again. Or they lose their first competition, they never come back again. So once you get through the weeds and you make it to blue belt or purple belt, brown belt, black belt, like the character and work ethic and dedication that those people have, and like the patience and like the just the love that they have to give, like it sounds really soft, but it's like people really care about each other at that level because they knew what it took to get there. They know what's at stake. They know that they have to look out for their teammates, both like from like a nutritional standpoint, physical standpoint, injury prevention standpoint. Like if you are seeing someone that's like struggling to get through a class and they're like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, well, what's your nutrition like? And they're like, oh, I just, you know, I don't really care. I just like have some burgers and stuff. It's like, you might be like, well, I think you'll probably progress if you look at increasing your protein. How many grams of protein do you have? And it's like, oh, like 60 grams. I'm like, guy like you might actually benefit from 200 grams. Oh, and then they start dialing in their nutrition. Like their conditioning gets better. Their fitness gets better. They get stronger. Like this is how people are able to support each other. But if you're not looking for those opportunities, or if you're not putting yourself in position for those opportunities, you miss out and you just kind of feel like somebody owed you something that you never got. But truthfully, you never put yourself in the room to be able to benefit from these kinds of people. And that goes for like what gym you contract out of, what coach you work with, what friends you have, what family that you're connected with. It goes across the board, yeah, for all things 100%. Life.
And I also like the fact that I know Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is like a like gigantic dose of this, but I mean, physical activity in itself is great for stress management for this reason. You have like controlled situations, controlled doses of stress that you can actively overcome. And I think that's a big thing that people don't really understand about just getting active in the first place, like how much easier it is not to sweat the small stuff.
I completely agree. And I can even expand on that a little bit, because recently, like, I can't remember where this came from, but it came from somewhere. And it was essentially outlining the fact that if we don't have like physical stressors in our life, in the realm of like strength training or going on a difficult run or doing jiu-jitsu, we will make up stress. And we will make up stress about the dumbest things. People will let an Instagram post ruin their day. They'll let it ruin friendships. They'll let it ruin their social supports. People will make up stories in their head about things that they saw on their phone that they might not actually be true. Like, people just get so absorbed in the things that are more virtual than real. And so if they can find a dosage of fitness that allows them to not only improve their heart health, but also get themselves channeled so that they're dealing with the right stress, then that's going to be in their best interest. Because like, people talk about stress management. We can't be without stress. If we were without stress, we would not be making
nothing would
any
be
progress.
Enjoyable. Because like, it's like there's nothing to overcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like when rich people buy shit and they're like, meh, they don't really appreciate it. Like, if you don't have anything to like push against, what's the point?
Well, and you raise an interesting topic there, because I pay attention to kind of like the path of a lot of the wealthy people that we know of. And I think if we did some Google searches, we'd find that a lot of the successful people in the world actually prioritize fitness. Like, fitness is the one thing that they can't delegate out, and they prioritize that. They are in, they're doing jujitsu. They are looking after their wellness because they realize like that is the one thing that they can do that actually contributes to their quality of life, their legacy here, the quality of their work. Like, they didn't get to where they are by accident. They probably had to bring in some good lifestyle habits because otherwise, like, they could get this millions of dollars or whatever, but then they die. So for them to be able to enjoy the product of all of their hard work, like, they will take care of their health. And like, the people that don't, ideally they learn soon enough. Like, you often see people, they start their fitness journey and they're like a former lawyer or they're a CEO or whatever, and they just had this aha moment that they're in their 60s or 70s and they're like, okay, if I want these last 20 years where I can like actually pay attention to everything in my life, maybe spend some extra time with kids or grandkids, or maybe pursue romance if they had to sacrifice that to grow their assets, grow their wealth, like, hopefully they have that aha moment where they're like, okay, well, I slacked before, but it's never too late. Never too late to start. And I might as well start now.
It eventually clicks. It just is a matter of time. Cause I know when we, like, we've worked with people where it's like, we'll say things a million times and it takes like years, but eventually people make fitness a priority. Cause I know health span is becoming a very big topic now, especially since Peter Attia did a really good job of bringing it to the forefront, the whole health span conversation. So it's awesome to see. It's never too late.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, totally agree. I want to be respectful of your time because you've been so good, like dropping so much useful information, but I got to ask you one last question. Are you ready? All right. Because what we do here, I took it from Diary of a CEO. We take a question from the guest to leave for the upcoming guest who they have no idea who it is. All right. So this one comes from Tasha Whalen. You know Tasha? Okay.
Not familiar.
Yeah. She's a writer for T Nation, like one of the head people at Ideal Strength out in Seattle. She's awesome and probably the strongest woman you'll ever meet, her and Dan, her husband. But they left the question, what do you think is overrated and underrated in the industry?
I think that when it comes to things that are overrated, it's all these different training models, like where it's like, this is the one way to do fitness. Like where it's people almost feel like they can't get started because they haven't done the prerequisites. And I think the thing that is underrated is helping instill true confidence, self-awareness, and autonomy within the fitness professional. A lot of us get into this industry for a reason. Like, we want to help other people, but the problem is that we haven't taken the steps to help ourselves first. So we have to ask ourselves, is what we're doing really helping, or are we projecting ourselves on other people? And so what I think is underrated is just like taking that step. Like, for some people, it's going to be finding a therapist. For other people, it's going to be just taking more time to like get in tune with what your values are, what your vision is, and care less about what everybody else is doing. So many people get insecure because they're trying to be like somebody that they saw on the internet. Their idea of who that person is rarely true. So I think that that is my answer.
Love that. Well, thank you again, Chris, for coming on. I really do appreciate you taking the time. And if anybody heard anything in this podcast that Chris was talking about that was just like, wow, this person in my mind really needs to hear this, go ahead and send it their way. Tell them Brian and Chris said hello, but make sure that you send it with love. So now if they're listening to you, Chris, and they're like, how do I see more of him? I want to get more. I want to see what he's putting out. Where can they find you?
So there's a few different ways. I'm in the midst of some construction on my website, but I put like kind of a landing page there. They can find that at invigoratetraining.com. But as time goes on, it'll get fancier and fancier. Another way where they can get a direct line to me is go to chrislittle.substack.com. That basically means that all my podcasts will go right to their inbox. Any of my newsletters or special offers or updates. And then the third is follow me on Instagram awesome. At
and
Christian
just so you
Lowe.
Guys know, you don't have to go anywhere and look for that. It's all going to be right down in the show notes. So click away, go follow Chris. You will not regret it. So Chris, thank you again for joining us. And everybody listening, thank you for listening all the way through. I will see you all same time, same place next week. But until then, go kick some ass. I'll see you later.